Another problem or an issue that happens is that the person may say that we have these students for only one retreat. This is the only time of the year we have them. Let's teach them everything in this 2 days, in this weekend. So they have a list of 15 different classes that they're going to teach them in a two-day camp where the kids are coming to swim anyway. And the people that are arranging it are giving them 15 classes a day. They're not listening, and even if they did, I know I give lectures, and if you speak to anyone who's given lectures, you know when they have a Pepsi taste test with Coca-Cola? What you get in an Islamic lecture is just, you know that cup when you just go like that. The whole retreat could be like this, maybe even less than that. Every single subject is just a little sampling of what's out there. Just little samples. And the person, they go, this sample tastes so sweet, I can't wait till next year to get the same sample. So it's a sampling, and the next year comes. Then 20 years will pass by, and this person will taste that sweetness but realize that they never got a full cup and they haven't gone to the 2-liter bottle or more than that. So conferences that teach everything, in reality, they teach very little. As opposed to, for example, in the Al-Maghrib Institute, we do 2 weekends. And the 2 weekends are the same amount of time that someone will spend at a conference. Or someone, forget even conferences, they'll watch football games or something like that. It's that same amount of time, but it's all focused on one subject. So starting from Friday, like 7:30 to 8:30, is class number 1, Tafsir Juz'amma. 8:30 to 9:30, class number 2, Tafsir Juz'amma. On Saturday, 10:30 to 8 o'clock at night, every 15 minutes, class 3, class 4, class 5, class 6, class 7, class 8, then Sunday, class 9, class 10, class 12, class... And you're seeing, wait a second, these people must be learning something. It's not 15 different subjects, it's just one, but doing it right. Teaching the people correctly, and using their weekends. And it's not just one weekend, but then they come back the second weekend. So it's 2 weekends. At the end of the 2 weekends, the person says, this is a lot of information. And we know they have to digest it. So then what we do is we say, look, go home, study this on your own time, be consistent, and after 1 month, we're going to reconvene and we'll administer an exam. And the exam, actually, as we were getting to it, the exam will then be, the marks will go to the American Open University and are accredited by Al-Azhar, by Al-Azhar University. So in English, the person has the ability to get a credit from Al-Azhar University, like that. And it goes down. And inshallah ta'ala, like I said, this class is coming to Houston. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue it. The next point is what's called motivational lectures. There's no such thing as a motivational lecture. Because it's just a fallacy. The person says motivational, how many times has a person give a motivational lecture about orphans in some country and go outside and look at the sadaqah box for those orphans? Was it motivational? No, it wasn't. As soon as the people leave, they don't remember what happened to those orphans. So it's called a motivational lecture, but in reality it is not motivational. When we started the Al-Maghrib class, there was actually, alhamdulillah, we're able to gather youth that don't normally come to any halaqas. Brothers and sisters that don't even come to the masjid, they came to the class. And these are like university level classes. And I was so happy that they came. But the more that they learned about Islam, it came to a point where they knew so much that if they went back to their old ways, they would be doing it out of knowledge that this was haram. And they would go back to the sin in arrogance to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm telling you from my experience, when we see youth that aren't practicing Islam, they're not doing it out of arrogance. They're doing it because we haven't taught them properly. They're sincere inshaAllah, but they haven't been taught. And they may reply back, we think that they know things, but they really haven't. Ask them how many Islamic classes they've been to. They may have never been to a single class. So they don't have the knowledge to fall back on. We just get angry because we may have been to more classes and we think that they know as much as we do, but they might not. And we just have to be merciful with them. And with knowledge comes action. It comes forward. It will either come action that for the good, or the person could be worse. But they have to choose one of the situations after the knowledge has come to them. For example, I'll just give you an example in Juz Amma, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say something, or one of the ayats.
فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا.
This ayah is in the first surah Naba. And many of you may have memorized it. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. And in the books of tafsir, they said that this is one of the hardest ayat against Ahlul Nar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every time the Ahlul Nar ask for, or the people of hellfire ask for the punishment to be lightened, it will be a cause for the punishment to be intensified. And if you go up those ayat that are coming right before that, if you look at the description of hellfire, you'll realize that nobody can withstand, can take this hellfire. But why do people still go forward into the sin? It's because of their ignorance of the reality of hellfire. It's their ignorance of it. So when someone truly learns these ayat, this is where the motivation comes. When they're alone at home and they're walking by themselves, it's not about some fancy motivational lecture. They now have knowledge to question themselves. As is what I'm doing right or wrong? And with that knowledge comes motivation. We just haven't done it properly in the past, but inshallah ta'ala, as we go forward and our education becomes better and more quality, we will see inshallah that there will be a reaction from the people in the way they practice their deen. You may see some institutions where like halaqas go on, and no specific places that I mean. I'm just talking about even my experience growing up in Canada. There was always a weekly halaqa that went by. And just take, if I went from kindergarten all the way to grade 12, and I went to halaqas every single weekend. Now look at how much time is dedicated. Like years and years. Maybe 15 years of going to a weekly halaqa. And then if you took that graduating class, those youth that are now moving on to university, and tell them, show everybody what you learned from these weekly halaqas. Show the world your knowledge. You'll see that they're still confused. Was the time spent? Yes, it was. Was it spent efficiently? No, it wasn't. It just passed. And so again, it's a focus in its amanah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about all these hours that we spend, that why didn't we put quality into it? And instead of doing something every single week, why don't we just let it go and prepare something more quality? For example, saying that, look, our halaqa is every 2 weeks, but on this Friday, a couple of people are going to get together to make sure that next week's halaqa is twice as productive. And we're going to prepare games and so on this Friday, and then the next Friday, we're going to come with twice as much quality instead of just doing things, but instead working more on the quality of that. The dedication factor. I was telling a brother outside, because a lot of people, when they delay their studying of Islam, they delay it with the excuse that one day they will study overseas. They say, I'm going to go to some exotic and beautiful country, and I will sit in the desert, and I will study with the greatest sheikh of that country, and I will learn everything for 15 years, and then I will come back as the greatest da'i to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in North America. Does it happen? Of course it doesn't. The dedication factor. I'll just show you an example. If I said, how many people want to memorize the Qur'an? Raise your hand if you want to memorize the Qur'an. I'm not setting you up, don't worry about it. If you make your intention, inshallah, you'll get the reward for it. You guys don't want to memorize Qur'an? Don't want to memorize Qur'an. Okay, we all want to memorize Qur'an. And I can ask the shuyukh, what does it take to memorize Qur'an? They have to come tonight after this lecture for 2 hours minimum. For lesson number one. Then tomorrow after Fajr, they're going to stay for an hour and a half. And then they're going to come back at Maghrib for 3 hours. And they're going to do this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll give them a break on Friday. And they come back Saturday. In the morning, at night. 4 or 5 hours a day. And then if I ask you now, raise your hand if you're willing to dedicate to this. How many hands would go up? Still hands would come up. This is the interesting. Hands would still come up. But then comes the practice. How many people will actually show up for that class? I would say 2 people. On the first day and on the second day, there would be nobody left. And not only nobody left, the teacher might also not be there because they had enough. When I memorized Quran when I was younger, ever since then, people would come up to me and say, "Can I study Quran with you, Muhammad?" And it's hard to say no to people because they think that, you know, I'm hiding knowledge from them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a responsibility, I'm not fulfilling it, and so on. I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about. One person had put the guilt trip on me, and then I said, okay, you come to my room. This is in the University of Medina. I said, "You come to my room and I'll teach you." And he said, "You know, why don't you come to my room instead?" And so I was young and gullible, so I said, "Okay, inshallah, I'll come and teach you in your room." So I go, "Where do you live?" He said, "I'm on the 5th floor. You know, there's no elevator and stuff. On the 5th floor in this location." So I said, "Okay, what time do you want me to come?" He said, "Come at this time." So the time is set. I'm not charging him $50 an hour or something like that. I go, I knock on the door. There's no answer. You know, I told everybody, "No, I have to go and teach this person." I knock on the door. There's no answer. Knock, knock, knock. No answer. I left. The next day, I see him maybe in a cafeteria. I said, "What happened?" And he said, "You know, I got kind of busy last night." So I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. This is my technique now when someone asks me, can you teach me Quran? I tell them when to come. I say, "Let's start tonight for 3 hours." And they say, in reply, "You know, I'm actually kind of busy tonight." And then I go, "Okay, tomorrow we'll make up tonight. We'll stay for 6 hours. It's a bluff, but you know, you get the idea. The dedication factor. How do you make the dedication factor? How do you get people dedicated? Even this class today, if I told you that let's after Isha continue for another 6 hours, you could never do it. It's only interesting up to a certain point, and then you have to get on with your lives. So now, Al Maghrib Institute teaches in 2 weekends, intensively, like all day long. How do we keep people into the class? What's interesting is that nobody comes in free. There's a financial commitment. And anybody that gets a scholarship, you know, 9 out of 10 will fail. They will not make it till the end. Even some people, they want to volunteer and they might get in free because they're volunteering. I'll tell them, if you want to benefit from this class, don't volunteer. Just pay the tuition, $165, and be a student. Because when a person thinks that they're getting something for free, then they also attach almost like a worthlessness to that. They'll say, if I'm getting it for free, then who cares if I miss it? If someone right now walked out and just went home, will there be any punishment for them? No. But if they paid $1,000 to attend a one-day seminar about the teaching techniques of the Prophet ﷺ, they would not walk home. Or they would walk home biting their nails, saying that I just blew $1,000 on this. A financial commitment to this. And because of the there's the financial commitment, and because of that we have the exam. The exam is one of the most important things in teaching people Islam. That they have to be tested in what they've learned. Now I'll tell the people that if I told you that at the end of this, there's going to be a full-fledged exam, a 2-hour exam, not the 10-minute quiz that you're getting, 2-hour exam, and I'm going to take it, I'm going to personally mark it myself, and the mark that you get on this exam, I'm going to submit to your university and your work. I'm going to tell them how good you did or the opposite. And then they in turn, we have a special deal that they will directly deduct or increase your salary based on the marks that you get. Would you be more serious about this class?
Sure.
For sure, right? You would be more serious, but it's not happening. You would benefit on a different level. So how do we get people to that level? One of those important things is by making them put in a financial commitment. That's just a little bit of that. And also the exam. There has to be an exam so they get the chance to go home, look over their notes. If there's an exam and someone didn't take notes, at the very least you would have to go phone up and photocopy someone else's notes in order to come to the exam. Anyhow, just continuing. 2 weekends. The 2 weekend class has never been done before. And at Al-Maghrib Institute, we started something new, trying to think out of the box. Can Islam be taught in 2 weekends? Someone may ask that question. And I would say in reply, can Islam be taught in 8 weeks? And they'll say, of course it can, those 8-week classes that you see all the time. And I'll tell you the feedback of teachers who have taught in this method. 8-week course, the classes are just shorter, but they're dragged on. The person studies for 2 hours on a Sunday, and then they leave for 1 week, and then they come back on Sunday. Half the class will not come back the next week, and there will be a new half that come to the class. That's number one. Number two is that with all that break in between, they would have forgotten everything that they learned on the first Sunday. So all this teacher does all through the 8 weeks is reteach everything. So alif ba'ta, alif ba'ta. Ask any kid who's been into Saturday Sunday school, how many times have you learned alif ba'ta? I'm sure that the minimum or the average is 30 times that they've learned it. It just keeps getting recycled. New kids come in, they never get beyond alif ba'ta, alif ba'ta. They keep learning it again and again. So what we did with the Al-Maghrib Institute is we just took all those hours of an 8-weekend program and put them together into 2 weekends only. How this helps the person who's busy in their education, maybe they're at university, or busy in their work, they can't go overseas. Who can't dedicate 2 weekends to studying a full course? Everybody can. That's just the nature of our life. We can dedicate short term, but not long term. And so we tell them, do whatever science you want, be a doctor, lawyer, IT professional, or whatever you want to do, and open a restaurant and so on, but come for these 2 weekends. And so that person, and especially there's a lot of people think, okay, the solution is to go overseas, but there are women that don't have that opportunity to go overseas. And a person has responsibility. Does that mean that they'll never learn Islam? It's not true. We just have to use our resources and use them properly and efficiently to teach the people about Islam. One of the last things, inshallah, that I'm going to be explaining is the difference between our institute, Al-Maghrib Institute, and other institutes. People ask me the question, where is Al-Maghrib located? And I'll say in reply, Al-Maghrib Institute, where is Al-Maghrib Institute located? I'll say in reply, it's located where the students are. Because if you look at an Islamic class, there may be 80 people and one teacher. Is it smarter to bring 80 students to the teacher or the teacher to 80 students? Obviously, it's smarter to bring the teacher to the students. So in some institutions, when they have a building and there's a lot of finances, they have to pay for electricity and so on and going, and everybody's building centers all around the U.S. and this person wants to build one more, that this center has no education and this center has like 5 imams. So what we did instead is that we go and we talk to different masajid and different organizations. We'll say, you provide us the location, we provide you the service and the teacher. And that's how we join together. So we work together. They already built the location, we don't need to build another location. And your students are there, they can't all fly in to come study with us, we will just send the teacher. And so our Al-Maghrib classes are on location. And I'll tell you that when there's an area that doesn't have too many students, we don't invest teachers in that area. Alhamdulillah ta'ala, because of your own dedication to Islam, alhamdulillah, it turned our eyes to Houston because of, inshallah, your sincerity in coming to Islam. And out of other places, you can go to Ohio and others that still want the class, but the dedication is not there. And we can't invest the time in that, but over here, that there's so many people that they want to learn, that it's almost forcing the teachers that say, we need to pay attention to educating these people that want to learn. And so, I guess you've heard, but just if you haven't heard, out of the location that we teach in Al-Maghrib Institute, we've taught it in College Park near the University of Maryland. the University of Pennsylvania. We've taught it at George Mason University, and we try to do this to work with the youth more specifically as they're growing older, the high school and university age. And of course, everybody's welcome. We've done it in Canada, in Algonquin College in Canada, and now we're actually, before this, we're doing it in Australia. And the class that some people missed, they were planning to travel to Australia just to study it, to study that class. But the tickets are like $2,000. You can go to Egypt and back and Pakistan and back. It's not $2,000. Australia is $2,000. So it didn't work out. But I'm telling you, this class in Houston, already people from the East Coast are planning to come to this one. They're going to fly in. And alhamdulillah, al-Maghrib, I told the smaller areas that we don't have the ability to send a teacher to them. We tell them that, look, gather 5-6 of the most potential youth, the youth that you have, brothers and sisters, that have the potential to lead your community, bring them to us in a van. And the adults should pay for their safe passage, their parents and the community. Make sure that they get to the class and that benefit will come back to the people. That an imam doesn't have to be brought from this location, that the imams can be brought up in the local area. And those, inshallah, you'll find that will be the most effective imams. People that come from their own, they've been to a public school, they've seen it, and inshallah ta'ala they will have effect with the people around them. Allah ta'ala a'lam. The website is almaghrib.org, and you'll ask me, why is it called Al Maghrib Institute? And go to the website, the first question is, why is it called Al Maghrib Institute? So that's another cliffhanger for you. Inshallah, why is it called Al Maghrib Institute? You'll see it on the website, inshallah. And the registration is actually available right now for the Houston event that's going to be in October. And our plan for the Al Maghrib Institute is to have four special event, double weekend courses, accredited courses here in Houston over the period of 1 year. So inshallah, basically, if someone just took it casually, just in 1 year, just attend these classes, after say 6-7 years, they'll have their bachelor's degree in the Islamic sciences accredited by Al-Azhar University. Our classes, our capacity is about 80 students, and it gets basically sold out at that. Imagine inshallah ta'ala, after 6-7 years, Houston will have 80 local people who have graduated with bachelor degrees in Islamic studies from your own people. We're not talking about one or two going overseas. From your own youth, 80 people minimum, inshallah. And that's our plan. We hope to invest this in Houston. And all we ask in reply, and I just want to mention this about this message specifically and the message that I've been to, that alhamdulillah, that they were most welcoming to us and allowing us to come. I know, subhanAllah, the disunity of the Muslims in many areas that I've been, that everybody thinks that there's an agenda the person has. So one masjid will not let this person speak, another masjid won't let, and this is in our area. And people don't even want me to speak because they're afraid that one day I might start an agenda. You know what my agenda is? It's just to bring khair to the people. It's just to educate. I promise you there's no agenda above that. And alhamdulillah that this community was welcoming, this masjid specifically, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you barakah in your own community, because this was the community that came forward and said, we were the ones who will assist. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless that. And you'll see communities that say, we don't want to assist, almost that it crumbles, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings others that call. May Allah azza wa jal to continue to give you barakah in your activities and your work.